In Kevin Kline's latest film, Darling Companion, his sixth collaboration with writer-director Lawrence Kasdan, he plays a successful surgeon caught up in a search for a missing dog. The film opens today at the Paris and Union Square Theaters, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Oscar and two-time Tony winner Kevin Kline back to our show. Hello.
Hello. It's good to be back.
Now, you've made six films with Lawrence Kasdan, The Big Chill, Grand Canyon, Silverado, I Love You to Death, French Kiss Now, Darling Companion. Have you worked that much with any other director?
No. No, this is the only kind of long-term collaboration I've ever been privileged to be part of. But it's always fun. It's always great fun.
And then you could have been in the seventh, but William Hurt got the part.
Ah, yes. Yeah, well, that was the first time I met Larry. It was to meet him. He was meeting actors in New York for Body Heat. And I met him, but I so liked him. When they called and said he's back in town a year later for casting another movie, do you want to meet him? I said, yeah, absolutely.
Did you think that William Hurt was the right choice for that part?
Oh, yeah. He was good.
Well, you would have been good in it, wouldn't you?
Well, I would have done it my way. But
So you came back. He came back to do the Big Chill.
Big Chill, yeah.
And, of course, William Hurt is also in that film.
Yes, he is.
And you said that when you met him, you immediately liked him. Did you have a feeling you kind of understood each other as a writer? As a director and an actor?
Yeah, I didn't really appreciate that until we were, you know, actually in the process of making The Big Chill. But I just liked him as a person. He was present. He had his wife with him, which not many directors had when I met them on auditions. He was real. He was genuine. Seemed kind of like a mensch.
Does that matter? Because, you know, some of the greatest directors have had reputations for being... Yeah. Not so nice.
I know. It just makes it so much easier. It's I've been blessed. But I've had a few stinkers. But not really mean, not like the famous ones who sort of took pride in the cruelty they could inflict.
Like Preminger, who was notorious. At the same time, he made a lot of great movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that, I mean, Alec Guinness went back time and time again to work with David Lean, who was, and they fought, apparently. And David Lean, sort of, actors seemed to be sort of a necessary evil up with which he had to put to get his movies made. But he didn't have much truck with him.
In this film, Darling Companion, you play Joseph Winter, a successful surgeon, and Diane Keaton plays your wife, Beth. You want to talk a bit about what these people are like?
They're like you and me. That's
only in a lousier marriage.
It's not a lousy marriage. I don't think it's sometimes when it's, you know, simplified and you have it's about a woman who loves her dog more than her husband. I think her husband perceives that she loves her dog more than him.
Yeah, but he's been kind of neglecting her. He's a surgeon, and obviously his job requires a lot of time and attention.
Yeah, any doctor, and he's a very good one, and he is devoted to his patients, and. Those kinds of things have an impact on any relationship. Like, oh, you're spending too much time on your job. What about me and the kids? I don't think he's neglected them any more than any other doctor. I think what Larry and Meg, who's his wife, who co-wrote the script with him, what they captured in the screenplay was it could have been a wonderful alchemy that brought them together in the first place, but over 25 or 30 years, people do change. They drift apart. Circumstances bring certain pressures. We're facing an empty nest. It takes place over the weekend of our last daughter's wedding, so we were empty nesters, as they say. And we're of a certain age, and we're looking at, you know, our twilight years together. And there's all kinds of things and then
you bring a tear to my eye.
Well, no, the real problem is I lose the dog, which is her.
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah. First, let's talk about finding the dog. When the film opens, Beth and their daughter Grace find an abandoned dog by the side of the road. And wasn't that based on something that actually happened to Meg Kasdan, Larry Kasdan's wife?
Mm-hmm. Larry and Meg lost their dog. They had rescued a dog from a shelter. And they went to a wedding and left the dog with a friend. A mountain biker came down on the bike, scared the dog. The dog ran off, and he was missing for 3 weeks. But they launched a massive search.
In this case, your character is walking the dog without holding the leash, and the dog sees a deer and runs off. Yes. And
my great sin is I was on my cell phone talking to my secretary, nurse, about someone who's canceled a surgery because he thinks that surgeons reach their peak at 45. So this has put me into a state, as he calls it, when he excuses himself. Well, it was an emergency. Well, for him. But the greater emergency, of course, was the deer.
Well, after they find the dog, Beth decides to bring the dog to an animal shelter. And then she learns that it'll probably be put down within a week. Mm. Is there an element of animal rescue education here?
Yeah, I think that can't help but be imparted. It is definitely, in fact, a lot of the film festivals have had rescue dogs there to be adopted.
While they've shown this film.
Get them in the lobby there. On the way out, you can't help but.
And rescue dogs were actually cast in the part of the dog that's named Freeway in the film.
They named the dog Freeway after where he was found. And he was a Hollywood, extraordinarily well-trained dog with a great trainer. But he had been a rescue dog who had been rescued in very bad shape, as indeed was the dog I rescued. We have a dog that we adopted. Someone else rescued him. As did Larry and Meg. They had a pretty, pretty sad case. But I think rescue dogs, they know when people have rescued them, and they love them that much more unconditionally. Yeah.
Well, your character, Joseph, doesn't want to have a dog.
No.
Which is...
No.
And both of them say they don't want to have a dog initially.
Well, he's more the realistic, the rationalist. He knows that the dog's not going to be... He doesn't have the time. The dog, and his daughter is working on her PhD thesis, and she doesn't have time, so he's just more realistic about it.
Well, this often happens.
Doesn't it? Yes.
Especially if there are kids involved. The kids say, we want the dog, and one of the parents says, well, I'm not going to walk this dog. You're going to have to walk the dog. And then, of course, he winds up walking the dog.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's kind of the story here as well. Mm-hmm. So a year later, they're celebrating their daughter's wedding in their country house in the mountains. The dog runs off, and that's when this whole plot then takes over.
Right.
And the rest of the film involves a search for the dog by the wedding guests who've stayed on. And wow, what a group of wedding guests. Joseph's sister, Penny, played by Diane Wiest, one of the greatest actresses in the world.
Maybe
her new
greatest.
Boyfriend, Russell, played by Richard Jenkins. Her greatest son,
actor.
Brian, played by a hot Mark Duplass. The caretaker, Carmen Ayelet Zera. Now, I'd never seen her before, but I think she's hot as well.
She's numero uno in Israel. She's an Israeli actress, and she's brilliant. She was in a couple of things. Before, I think she was in one of those Tom Hanks, Leonardo, the Da Vinci Code movies, which I didn't see, but I'm told she was in that. But she's wonderful.
Do you know if these people really love dogs, or does it really matter when you're playing these parts?
It doesn't really matter, but they, in fact, did. I know Diane is very, Diane Keaton is very involved with a shelter, I believe, or some organization for adopting dogs in Los Angeles. And as for the rest, I think everyone has had a dog.
I forgot to mention that the cast also includes two other really famous actors, Elizabeth Moss, who plays
my
Grace,
daughter. Yep.
And Sam Shepard, who plays
the
cranky sheriff.
Yep. It was a tremendous cast, tremendous.
It's been suggested that Darling Companion could be seen as a kind of a sequel to The Big Chill and Grand Canyon. Do you know if Larry Kasdan sees these three films as a kind of a trilogy?
Well, having just finished a week of interviews with him and, and going to premieres and such, he didn't when he was writing it, but when it was finished, I think he saw it as a companion piece to The Big Chill and to Grand Canyon, in as much as, aside from the fact that I show up in all three, it's really, as he put it, I mean, he writes what he knows, and he knows this generation, and or felt that he knew it, certainly when he wrote The Big Chill, and then again with Grand Canyon. People in their 30s in The Big Chill, people in their mid-40s, say, in Grand Canyon, and now people of an unmentionable age, everyone keeps saying of a certain age, people, you know, who are looking at 60, either ahead or just behind them. And but it's that generation. It's the same. They're not the same people, but definitely the same generation.
Well, not all the same actors other than you, but
right.
All three films are based to some degree on events in his own life?
To some degree.
And all of them, you play a certain kind of guy, successful, married, with children, self-confident, although they've lived in different parts of the country and have different professions. Have you and Larry Kasdan talked about that character? Is he a kind of all-American, middle-class everyman?
We never thought of him that. I mean, he is. He writes these sort of decent, upstanding men who are trying to lead honorable lives. They're not perfect. Certainly this character has his flaws.
But he surely is somebody we don't dislike.
I think we do a little.
Well, he could be annoying at times, but in the end
he's a bit self-absorbed. No, by the end he's a bit. Yeah, he's had some things revealed to him, and he's better. But I love that he does. It's not a Hollywood transformation. He's not a new person. He even says, "I'm going to try harder. I can't promise anything because, you know, but I'm going to try." And that's all really we can ask of our spouse.
My guest is Kevin Kline. His latest film is Darling Companion, which opens today at the Paris and Union Square theaters. The Big Chill was about a group of college friends who reunite for the funeral of a friend who's committed suicide. In this case, Darling Companion, the characters gather for a wedding. So it's a major occasions actually lend themselves to compelling stories.
Yes, and to bringing people together. The fact that this is the fact that Diane Wiest is my sister and she's brought her fiancé that Richard Jenkins plays, who's hysterical. And there's all this family
tension.
We don't like this guy. We don't want him. He's an intruder. So there's that thing. There's sending our daughter off to into wedded bliss, one hopes, and it's us and the dog now. But losing the dog the same way our friend committed suicide brings us all together, and then all these adventures happen.
The Big Chill had an ensemble cast that included you, Glenn Close, William Hurt, Jeff Goldblum. All of you pretty much just starting out.
Mm.
And most of you became major stars, including Kevin Costner, mm-hmm. who wound up on the cutting room floor.
Yes, he did.
Did you have a sense when you were making it that it was going to be as successful as it was? Do you ever have a sense of whether something you're working on is going to do well or not well?
No. In fact, The Big Chill, it was unusual when I read it. I hadn't read that many scripts anyway at that point.
You'd already done Sophie's Choice.
I'd just done Sophie's Choice. And so I didn't know how to read a screenplay. I was comparing them to plays, and you can't do that because, first of all, plays don't get rewritten the way movies do, and they're not quite as malleable in a process.
And plays have more dialogue.
Yes, exactly. And I just, but when I read it, I thought, well, this, it's unusual and it has a good heart. And I had no idea. Even when Larry screened it for, I think it was for me and Glenn Close and Mary Kate Place, we were watching it and I had no idea. I'd forgotten how much music there was. So aside from this fantastic score, I thought, what a wonderful sort of home movie that captured this wonderful experience that we all had making the film. But I don't know if it'll catch on or if anyone else is interested.
But he does have a real great sense of casting.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Canyon had a cast that included Danny Glover, Mary Louise Parker, Steve Martin, Alfre Woodard, and I mentioned the amazing cast in this film. He has a real talent for putting together major stars for ensemble films.
Yes, I think I haven't met an actor that wouldn't be eager to work for Larry. It's sort of like the same way when actors, if you often offer them a Chekhov play, they're all dying to play Chekhov. Chekhov writes for actors. So does Shakespeare, but there's a certain skill set needed for that. That's not everybody's taste, but everybody's eager to work for Larry.
Or Woody Allen, for that matter.
Yeah, same thing. He can get whoever he wants.
This is Larry Kasdan's first non-studio independent feature. Was that by choice? We have some pretty high-powered cast members. I'm assuming that all of you worked for less than you usually get for a film.
Oh, yeah. We all worked for scale. And that was... that's the way movies are made now, quite often. Independent films, you get paid if the movie catches fire, and later on you might get a little remuneration, a little compensation. But for this, this was the process was so attractive. There was a lot of people did it for love and loved doing it. It was so much fun to make.
Well, throughout your career, you've gone back and forth from theater to film, from drama to comedy, from classics to independent films. Is it important to you to keep on mixing it up?
Yes, it's pretty important. Maybe I was spoiled by spending 4 years in the acting company, which was the repertory company that John Houseman formed out of the first graduating class of the Juilliard Drama School. And that was all about playing different roles, and it was really about stretching the actor every possible way, different styles, different periods, different modern classics, whatever. And that variety is very stimulating. So you don't, whether it was that or just not wanting to be pigeonholed. So I've always looked for something a little different. I'm running out of different things. There's bound to be some repetition, but that's what keeps me interested.
Well, when you work in repertory, you're working with the same actors all the time.
Yeah.
But in these films, you often are meeting them for the first time, and you mm-hmm. have to act as though you've known them for many years, or you've been married to somebody.
I know, it's weird.
A couple of actors have told me that the first scene that they had in a film was a very erotic scene, and mm-hmm. it was kind of weird not knowing the other person.
It happened with me and Laura Linney. I think it was Laura's first film, and I was doing Dave, playing the president and a guy who looks like the president. And her first scene, she showed up, she's naked, I'm on top of her, and I say, hi, nice to meet you, and I hope you let me know.
That's the way I always wanted to meet Laura Linney.
Well, it breaks a lot. It's a real icebreaker, let me say that. And she was so game. She was so great. But it's not the nicest introduction to film, but she weathered it beautifully.
Meanwhile, we should also mention that this is a wonderful comic cast, and the woman who plays your wife, Diane Keaton, is one of the great comic actors in America.
Yes, she is. And dramatic. She's done wonderful dramatic work, but she's known for Annie Hall and other great comic turns that she's done. She's hysterical.
Darling Companion opens today at the Paris and Union Square Theaters, and it has been my great pleasure to speak with Kevin Kline about it.
My pleasure to have been here. Thank you.